Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're back again for episode number 68. Now, the math is getting difficult, I have to admit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit more difficult. But this number is divisible by four. And as per Haunt Weekly rules, which are carved in stone in our office... That means we neither have stone nor an office. That means we're doing the news. And that's right. It's a relatively busy news week. I was surprised by how much there was to talk about.
Yeah.
So a lot going on this week. But first thing is first, let's do our conference reminders as we usually do.
Yep.
And I am elected to kick off this week because coming up almost immediately, in fact, if you are not like leaving for this now.
Well, in the next couple of days.
In the next couple of days, you probably are not going. It's Transworld Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. Early bird discounts have expired. By the time this goes up, those will be in. But you can still register at the door. It'll just cost you $50 more. A big thing this year, it is Escape Room City. 25% of the trade show floor dedicated to escape rooms. Should be exciting. We know a lot of you guys are heading there to go do your hot mingling and industry working stuff. So hope you have a good time. If you need to learn more, scheduling and all that jazz at the Ha Show, HAASHOW.com.
And remember, they do want you to photograph and videotape everything, right?
Indeed, that seems to be the MO.
Okay. Next, May 1st through the 5th, we have Room Escape Conference and Tour, Niagara Falls, New York at the Niagara Falls Conference and Event Center. Tours of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada, and Locked Up Escape Games. Conferences the 1st through the 3rd, and the tours are the 4th through the 5th. You can find out more at roomescapeshow.com. As we mentioned, this does cross borders.
There is still time to get an expedited passport card in particular, which is all you really need to get into Canada. So if you're wanting to go and you're wanting to go on all those tours and you're in the U.S.
and don't have one.
Now's the time. Get to work on this. After that is West Coast Haunters Convention, May 12th to the 14th in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel. They'll be touring the House of Shadows, a multi-attraction haunted house. Has like eight different things, I believe it was, on the poster. Yeah. It looked awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Hauntersconvention.com is to where you learn more.
All right, then, June 8th through 11th, we have Midwest Haunters Convention.
Gotta love the geography theme going here at the West Coast, the Midwest, just saying.
Yeah.
But anyways. All right,
so... The Midwest Haunters Convention is at the Greater Columbus Center in Columbus, Ohio. They will be touring the Scaratorium, Scare Factor, Dead Acres, Haunted Hoochie, and hosting a late-night monster beach party all on the same night. So you gotta pick which one you want to go to.
Should be fun, though. It's Midwest Haunters... I'm sorry, stepping all over you.
You are, but that's okay.
MidwestHauntersConvention.com. Okay, if you want to take the next one to make amends for that...
That's okay.
Okay, well, after that, it's Midsummer Scream... July 29th and 30th in Long Beach, California, the Long Beach Convention Center. It's by the people behind Creepy LA and Theme Park Adventure. MidsummerScream.org. Not a lot of details on this one right now. Stay tuned. More is coming.
Yeah. August 5th through the 6th, we have Scare LA. It's going to be at the Los Angeles Convention Center in the West Halls. There are going to be more than 200 vendors and many panels on the haunted attraction business. ScareLA.com. Is where to go to see when they post more information.
Yes, we're getting into the conferences where not everything is settled.
Well, and it shouldn't be, because there are ways out.
Yes. You know, people got to get their Transworld buzz on and get through that when they really start thinking about these conferences.
Exactly.
But August 25th through the 27th, it's Halloween and Haunt Fest Show in Dallas, Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center. Halloween and Haunt. .com is the domain. Check it out.
Right.
All right. That is it for our conferences right now.
Yes.
But we have to first, before we kick into the news, make some amends and cover some ground we did not cover last week.
Well, that's because we didn't know about these.
Okay. To be fair, I did know about the first one. I just forgot.
Okay, well, that's fair. I didn't know about these. I am completely blameless.
You are completely blameless. I knew about the first one. I'd seen it before, but I got so excited about learning about new charities that I didn't know, I forgot to include one I had heard about.
Right.
Now, the other one, the second one, I did not know about.
Yes.
I take no blame for that one. But anyways, first off, we have a couple of charities. Last week, we did the big charity thing. And honestly, I don't think we had room for all these charities anyway.
That's true. We did run a little long, so...
So we'll do this. We'll treat this also as a spillover episode as well.
Yes.
But yes, first off this week is Don't Be a Monster at don'tbeamonster.org. They are an organization that works to educate and empower youth to be leaders around diversity, inclusiveness, and basically to not be bullies and to stop bullying. And if you've ever had like one of those assemblies at your high school or middle school or whatever, your school,
right,
where they came in and they talked about bullying, this is an organization that puts those on.
Yay!
And excuse me. And so far, they have visited 462 schools, have 724 presenters, and have reached goddamn close to 250,000 students.
Yeah.
I'm calling that damn near 250,000 students.
That's
it's over 240,000.
Yeah.
We can call it damn near 250,000.
Yep.
They are partnered with some 1,900 attractions all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, they do not have a presence here in New Orleans, but they do have in other towns that we have a foothold in, like St. Louis and so on. So
right, and in fact, if you're going to Trans World, they will be having a silent auction to support this charity. So watch out for that.
Yeah, it's a great cause of support. And also, that silent auction is the third year they've done it. It is a really excellent way to get some really cool stuff at a good price, too.
Yeah.
Because my understanding is pretty much everything in that auction, mm-hmm, is worth over $500.
Yeah.
And so you can get some banging deals there. It's a great cause of support. They're doing some great work. And they have a huge approval rating. I believe it was something like 96% of the schools said that they were helpful and useful in the campaign to stop bullying. So yeah, check these guys out. They've got a good thing rolling here. The other charity we have is Scares That Care. Now, this one I did not hear about until this. And we'll give our thanks in a minute, by the way.
Yes.
But they are a charity that provides toys, money, and other items to help sick children or those with illnesses. And they actually have two partner organizations they work with. First is Scares for Pears, which is against breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find that name endlessly amusing. I can't help it. It's quite cute. And then I Helped Kane. That, by the way, is referring to Kane Hodder, who played Jason Voorhees.
Yes.
They help childhood victims of burn injuries. So basically, it's like an umbrella thing working with these organizations. But basically, they do awesome things to help sick children and victims of breast cancer. It's scaresthatcare.org. They just got off a huge telethon not that long ago, was their latest charity, where they raised $10,000.
Yeah.
24-hour telethon. I have a hard time sitting here talking to you for an hour.
Well, that's because we're around each other all the time, so...
Yeah, so honestly...
That's part of it, I'm sure.
I'm not sure I could ever do a 24-hour telethon.
No.
I maybe in my youthful days, back when I was younger...
If you do it in shifts, it's probably not so bad.
Yeah, probably.
And I think that that's probably how they do it. I'm realizing that we forgot one, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was the one that the Lafayette Haunted House... You know, there's nothing scarier than illiteracy.
Yeah.
Well,
like I said, it's one of the reasons why we talked about the haunt charities.
Right.
Is because haunts and charities have gone hand in hand forever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the very first modern haunted attractions in the U.S. were done by the JCs, Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
And so, you know...
And there's still plenty of haunted things that schools put on as fundraisers.
Yeah. And we're actually talking in the news this week about a couple of haunted attractions and their charity efforts, too.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a continuing thing. You know, we wanted to draw attention, though, to some charities that are also Halloween and or haunt-themed.
Right.
And, yeah, the hits just keep coming. So, yeah, if you know more great charities we can mention,
yeah,
hit us up on Twitter, Haunt Weekly. Hit us up on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Send us a message. Send us a tweet. @reply us. Ding us. Anything, get in touch with us. You can probably tag us on Facebook personally.
Right.
We're pretty accessible.
As Brian Foreman did to bring this conversation to our attention.
Yes, and it was Drew Badger who was originally doing the posting.
Right. So about these two.
Yeah, about these two. So yes, we now have... That is all the Halloween themed haunts. I'm sure we are 100% complete.
No, we're 100% complete. No. You want people to write us. You're losing focus.
We're nowhere near 100% complete. No. Believe me, I know it.
Yeah.
All right, excuse me. But yes, now it is time to do the news. And we have several great, very interesting stories for you. Starting off with a couple of difficult ones. But I think the later parts of the episode will be much more pleasant, I guess is the word. So yes, it's overall a more upbeat episode. Just bear with us as we get through a couple of initial stories. Right. They might have some teeth gnashing and some frustration.
But not the very first one.
Not the very first one. Well, right off the bat, we have to talk about something we're not really paying close attention to.
Right.
Which is haunts that open for St. Patrick's Day. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about this last year much.
Yeah. But it came up a fair amount this year, and a couple of fairly big ones, Dark Hour in Plano, Texas, and Factory of Terror in Canton, Ohio, both opened up. This seems to be a new thing that is really growing.
Right.
So maybe another holiday to watch out. You got to be careful with this. Cultural appropriation is a thing, even with Irish, but...
It is.
But, you know, you could be... I know, even with Irish, last name Bailey's.
No, I know. I'm remembering the kerfuffle here about cultural appropriation appropriation.
We're not
just
discussing
layers and layers.
Just Google, what was it, Irish Zulu, and do your own research on that one. We're not going into that one.
Yeah, something like that.
That could eat up the whole hour. But yeah. So apparently this is a thing that some haunts are now doing. And like I said, it came up multiple times in the news search. So yeah, just wanted to mention that it happened, and not really much else to say.
Right.
But all right. A follow-up to a story we reported on previously deals with a haunted attraction actor by the name of Brenton Donaldson. He worked at Mystery Manor in Omaha, Nebraska. He was charged with assault of a customer in October. A customer basically accused him of smashing her head down on the table, saying that he was going to drag her off and all this stuff.
Right.
And Donaldson seemed pretty confused by the allegations from his side, at least.
Yeah.
He says no such attack ever happened. It's a no-touch haunt. They do kidnap people, but only plants in the audience, which is something we've seen at a few haunts we've been
through. Right. And from the video, it looked like it was outside actors being kidnapped to give you the feeling that you might be taken at any point before you go in.
Mm-hmm. It was not someone being removed from a scene, which that is something we have actually seen executed in a haunt, but...
Yeah, but
it's very tough to do that.
It is, and I do think that the idea of kidnapping from the line is better.
If you're
going to use plants.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. That's a good point, because the problem with doing it in a scene is only that one group is observing it.
Yeah.
If, like, every 30 minutes you do a kidnap stint from the middle of the line, you have an actor just gets in the back of the queue and gets up a certain distance and then gets snatched.
Yeah.
That could be a really cool way, because now everyone in the line is seeing that. It's not just one group.
Right.
It has much...
Or somebody from a concession stand, if you got it near the line.
Yeah. It's not just the people actually in that one group, which is one of the reasons why it's not super effective.
Exactly.
That, and also when you're in the haunt itself, it's easy to miss that.
Right.
But that's beside the point. Because had one time we had a plan disappear, and we didn't realize our group was down a person.
I realized she wasn't there. But it was also at the end of the haunt.
Yeah, we thought we just lost her. I mean, kind of. It was kind of weird. But yeah, anyways, that's in a complete aside. But Brenton Donaldson, the case was dropped.
Yes.
And the reason it was dropped was because the alleged victim did not show up for the trial. Now, she says she didn't show up for the trial because the attorneys, the prosecution attorneys, told her that there was a very limited chance of success because there was so little evidence. and there were multiple witnesses on Donaldson's side going to testify right. that no such assault happened.
Yeah, he had four other people in the room with him.
Yes.
And I would think that if someone hit your head against a table, you would need to have pictures taken or go to a hospital, you know, and there was none of that done.
There was no physical evidence. Not, I mean, and the thing about it is this still winds up to some degree being a he said, she said.
Right.
And literally in this case, a he said, she said.
Yes.
Because there was no videotape.
Yes. If your haunt does not have security cameras, why not? It's a liability.
And here's the thing. I mean, it's for everyone's protection.
Yeah.
Literally everyone. It helps defend against overzealous actors. It defends against false claims from customers.
Right.
It basically protects literally everyone.
Yes.
There is no reason to. And the cost of these surveillance systems has tanked. If our little Rudy Poo haunt
yeah.
can afford a pretty decent security camera system.
Yeah.
Then you guys can. It's really not that much. Especially if you hook it up with a DVR system and you just have it running. It's pretty straightforward stuff. And it boggles the mind that there was no video evidence of this assault or non-assault.
Right. Yeah, and it's one of those things that's easy to scale up with haunts. So, you know, I know that some codes require installed video cameras, like into the wiring and all of that. But, you know, if you're really small and you don't have that requirement, you can just get a couple of Wi-Fi ones.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're a small, like what we did for ours is we went with something called Arlo.
Right.
Which is a completely wire-free camera system.
Yes.
And basically you aim it, it triggers whenever someone comes into the room, records for a minute or 2 minutes or whatever you set it, and then stops and it saves it to the cloud, and then we move on.
Yeah, and it saves it for a month?
You can pay to have it saved for as long as, you know, save for a week for free.
Okay.
But you can, it's not even that much to get the month-to-month account. We just only have it that active in the winter when I'm still editing and going through footage and downloading footage.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there are solutions to get security cameras in haunts. It needs to be done. The cost has dropped, and cases like this one point out why. Because the fact of the matter is, there's always going to be doubt about what happened here.
Right.
Because the victim has not dropped the story. She just said she didn't come to court because she was told she couldn't win.
Right.
And I understand that. Even if it were a real attack, I'd be hesitant to go under those circumstances.
Yeah. Now, the actor involved does say he will continue acting in haunts. Do you think with this stigma that he's going to be able to find work as easily?
Well, and I don't know, because he was let go from Mystery Manor, and this was something that came out back in October.
Right.
Right after the assault, the alleged assault, my apologies.
Yeah.
Right after the alleged assault, he was let go from Mystery Manor for reasons not related to this. They made it very, very clear it wasn't related to this alleged incident.
Right.
But that's just it. Even now, but the timing of it was suspect. Now, and that's one of the things for Donaldson. It's like I said, I don't honestly know what happened, but here we are talking about an alleged assault because that's the language we have to use.
Right.
And of course he's not been convicted. He hasn't even been tried. It didn't go that far. So it's good news for him. But yeah, you're right. There is going to be a stigma here. But still, I think he will find a haunt crew that would be willing to take him and have him as a member. Because we are an industry of outcasts and second chances.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
For the most part, yeah.
And he was not convicted. Didn't even go to trial. The claims are not backed up by any physical evidence.
Right, and it looks like he is a fairly decent character actor from the little snippets. Granted, the video clip was only 2 minutes for the whole thing, so his characters
were like... You get like 15 seconds of him tops being in character.
But it looks nice.
It looked nice, he's a cool dude, and you know, from the looks of it, he seemed like a cool guy with his head screwed on straight.
Yeah.
I've gotten... It's a sad situation all around, and it could have been avoided completely and totally with security cameras. And that's the part that kills me.
Yeah.
Because...
yeah, I think that now, thinking back to the haunts that we've worked in, if I were going to do it again, I would look at getting something like a GoPro, the chest mount.
Yeah.
To hide inside of my costume, knowing that the haunt that we were at didn't have security cameras. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's something that's one of the things that has definitely changed for me with haunting when I go to work at other places or consider working at other places.
Right.
That's one of the first things I now look at is a security camera. Like, I know one of the haunts we went to, the first years we were there, had effectively no coverage.
Right.
And he got better about it later years.
Yeah.
But still nowhere near complete coverage.
Right.
Yeah, anywhere there's the possibility of actor interaction with customers, you need to be recording that.
Yeah.
And this story is why.
Exactly.
That, and also, hey, record scares. It's fun.
Yeah. You can go back and watch them later.
The marionette guy we had.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe him. He started moving like a marionette when he got scared. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a haunt.
Yeah.
We've been playing almost on a constant loop around.
Yeah, we posted it to our private
Facebook group for
the team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, video coverage, get it done. And this is just, that's the part about the story that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
This whole thing could have been avoided, and, you're an idiot, God. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's an easy fix.
Such an easy fix, and I cannot believe it was not done.
No.
I sincerely hope Mystery Manor has invested in a proper security system now, and that next season when they open, it will be running.
Yep.
Seriously. All right, moving on to another thing that should never, ever, ever happen in a haunt. It deals with Osceola. I've been trying to figure out how to say this town name for a while.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Osceola, Minnesota man pleads guilty in case that involved racist threats and other, and actually an assault on haunted attraction workers.
Right.
And once again, this started in October. I don't think this one hit our radar in October when it happened.
No.
Apparently, we don't get a lot of news from Osceola, Minnesota, is what I've learned today. But anyways, the man that was named is Joshua Celine. I think that's how you say it. Celine? Or Celine?
I'm not sure.
Celine. We're running with Celine.
Yeah.
But basically, he got in some kind of, and it's not really well explained in this article, he got involved in a confrontation with several African-American employees at a local haunted attraction.
And his girlfriend.
Something about jealousy involving his girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know if, it's not clear from the article who was working there, if they were working there, and maybe they were actors.
Yeah.
I'm hoping not, but
But some kind of confrontation with employees of this haunt broke out. Witnesses reported he used multiple racial expletives. Oh, God, I always struggle with that word. Mm-hmm. And several death threats against them. The confrontation, this is the part that really is bizarre to me, by the way. I just want to front load that. But I really don't get this, and the article is doing a very poor job here of explaining it. I tried to find another source, and it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and his girlfriend was working there.
Okay.
So it was her and her co-workers.
All right. That helps a little bit. Not much with what's coming next.
Right.
But a little bit.
Yeah, I'm unsure whether or not he was working there also.
Yeah, but the confrontation then moved to his house, where he assaulted his girlfriend and one of the workers, the aforementioned workers, who had come to defend her.
Right.
And he also fired a gun at vehicles as they fled.
And chased them through town.
Yeah, and chased them through town.
Yes.
This is just a big bucket of crazy here.
Yes, I would agree with that.
There is a lot. I'm choking today. There is a lot to unpack with that.
Yeah.
Celine ended up being charged with 15 separate criminal counts. He has pleaded guilty to 4, and as part of that, the hate crime charges were dropped. Now, the reason the prosecution cited for that was it seemed to them that the incident stemmed more from jealousy, and even though there were racial slurs used, the actual motivation had more to do with jealousy involving his girlfriend rather than, you know, racism being the spawn of the crime, but we can sit here and argue that until we're blue in the face and probably not get anywhere. He will be sentenced on April 28th. The prosecution is pushing for jail time in this case, which is like, duh.
Yeah. Well, I don't see him getting out of jail time.
Well, he's been in jail since the incident, for the record.
Right. Well, the maximum penalties for what he's charged with and what he's pleaded guilty to is 13 and a half years.
Yeah, he's going to do some prison time for this, and then as he should.
Yeah. He also chased the mother of one of the victims through the downtown. I don't know, while shooting a gun.
You know,
it's just...
The thing about this story, and one of the reminders is that sometimes it's not the haunted house workers that are the problem. It's the people connected with them and the customers that are crazier.
Right. And that's nothing that you can really scan for whenever you're hiring someone. I mean, I do think that background checks are not a bad idea for haunts.
No.
Again, reducing liability. But I don't see how you could do this.
No, there is no background check that says, do you have a crazy boyfriend and or girlfriend that may come and try to shoot at our workers?
Yeah.
Yeah, this seems like it was in a bit of office politics, if you will, gone horribly awry with an outsider who got jealous about a relationship.
Right.
Of some stripe, or some got jealous for whatever reason. And given how unstable he obviously is, that reason could literally be no reason.
Right.
So, because, stable people don't chase, you know, others through town firing guns at them. And that
Not typically, no.
No, this doesn't happen in sane, normal people, typically. So, yes, honestly, this whole story seems very bizarre, but yeah, I don't really know what the haunt could have done differently here. I'm curious as to why I know why his girlfriend went to his house, but why the employees went.
Because they were afraid for her safety, and we are a family.
Yeah, we are.
We work as a family, and, you know, I get it. Why, you know, I just think that they wanted to make sure she was safe.
Yeah.
But why she went there is another
question. And also, that you could say that's a situation to call the police.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, the whole thing is bonkers, and the details in the article are scant, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we're doing the best we can. I would check the link we provide in the show notes. And by the way, all of the links we're talking about are in the show notes.
Right.
So definitely check them out. But yeah, so that's the rough story of the week.
Really quick, regarding the show notes, if you guys keep hearing us mentioning them and don't know where to find them, which is hauntweekly.com, tell us if you'd like us to post them on Facebook too.
Yeah, we can post the full show notes. That's not a problem.
Yeah. So just let us know if you'd rather see them that way.
Okay, yeah, give us some feedback on that. We're happy, especially on news weeks.
Right.
Because we almost always have show notes of some stripe.
Right.
But we usually just have very abbreviated ones. These are the bullet points we want to talk about. News is where the show notes actually have some heft to them.
Yes.
I think we've got like 12 pages of show notes today, for example.
Right.
So just something to think about. Okay, moving forward to some more feel-good stuff. Let's get to some feel-good stuff. Not more feel-good stuff, to feel-good stuff.
Yeah, real quick on that. He was initially charged with a hate crime.
Yes, I know.
And it was dropped.
Dropped with the plea agreement,
Okay.
All
right. Now happy news.
Happy news. The Reign of Terror Haunted House opened up for one night, March 4th, and all proceeds went to two local animal rescues. Now, this, I think, is a really, really interesting idea.
Right.
And I think other haunted attractions should be paying attention to this. Basically, this is a haunted attraction located in Thousand Oaks, California. And for the past 3 years, they've had a tradition where they've opened up one night in late winter, late February, early March, right around then, and all the proceeds from that night go to charity. And 3 years ago, basically, it started when one of their actors was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Yeah.
So, and the owner basically said in this interview, well, he had a GoFundMe campaign.
Yeah.
And I was going to, like, chip in $100, but that didn't feel right because he'd done so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? We'll just open for a random night, advertise it, and see what we do. They raised $11,000 for him.
Right.
Which I don't know if you're very good at math. That's an amount significantly greater than 100.
It is.
By like a wide margin. It's a huge, it's a bigly amount.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. But yeah, I like this idea of a late winter charity tradition. With all this talk we've had about charity haunting, this is a great idea.
Right.
It's Alice season. It's a great way to keep your haunt's name and brand in public media. Because he got, I mean, literally, this was all over the news searches. His press push this year must have been really good because he got some pretty good coverage on it. And, yeah, two great charities. And this year, like I said, it was to the LIFE, Animal Rescue in Agoura Hill, and the California Coastal Horse Rescue in Ojai?
Yeah, that's
California. Your town names be weird. And I'm from the town. I'm from the state with Clutchyville. Okay.
Yes. And the city with Chapultepec.
Oh God.
As a street name.
You know, you're right. You know, I should shut my mouth.
You should.
But still, the point is, some great causes, and I think a great idea for a way to support charities in your area. And also, this helps the actors shake some of that rust.
Yeah.
You know, because that's one of the things... go ahead.
And I think it's a great idea for haunts that aren't already tearing down and building up.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that stay mostly the same.
Yeah.
But if you're in the middle of teardown, you can't really do this. But maybe you have a room or something that you could hold, like an event.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think, because it might be possible, instead of doing it late winter, if you're going to do a knockdown haunt.
Right.
Most haunts, at least in my experience, have kind of taken November and December off.
Yeah.
Because November you're dead, December's the holidays.
Yeah.
And so maybe like early in the new year you do this, and that be the last day before you begin knockdown.
Right.
And do your teardown January, February, March, and you're rebuilding after.
Yeah, and it's also a good way to get the team back together.
Yeah.
So that you've got your, you know, your core group there with you.
Exactly.
I wonder if they don't do it now, though, because of tax season.
Hmm.
Because this is a chance for people to look.
I did not even think about that. A possible last... Well, the deductions have to be an actual year to count.
Yeah, but some people are already starting to probably get their refunds and stuff that they have simple taxes that they can...
Yeah.
You know, 1W-2 you can file by the end of January.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't do deductions and stuff.
Yeah. I really like this idea of a radical off-season day just for charity, just for fun.
Yep.
This is a great idea. And you know what? Yeah. So kudos to these guys. Reign of Terror, that's R-E-I-G-N of Terror, by the way. Not Reign of Terror, like the rain came down. It's rain like...
No, it's rain like the king reigns.
Reigned over his subjects.
Yes.
Yeah, Reign of Terror, Haunt House, great idea. Kudos to you guys and all that you do. That is awesome.
All right.
I like stories of haunted attractions being a part of revitalization efforts.
Yes.
You know I'm huge on those.
Yeah.
So this one really tickled me. In Des Moines, Iowa, there is an old paint factory. It's been shuttered for over a decade. They moved it, closed it up in the mid-2000s. And it's been recently purchased by a couple that want to renovate it and make it a mixed-use space.
Yes.
Now, part of getting their permit is that they have to show they have people that are interested in it. And one of the parties that's already said they're interested in getting a lease is the Slaughterhouse Haunted Attraction.
Right.
We'll be taking a fairly significant section of the space, I understand. And the Slaughterhouse, which has been in operation for a few years now, says this will be their first permanent home. So they're very excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds like a great thing.
And this also will help the couple and help the efforts to turn the rest of it into a mixed-use space for artists, offices, craftsmen, all kinds of neat stuff. And basically take this building, which in the photo, it looks like just a blight hole.
Right. Yeah, it needs some work.
It needs some TLC, baby.
Yeah.
It needs some loving. But it looks like a blight hole. It gives it a chance to take it, revitalize it, and make it something cool. And we've been seeing things like this in New Orleans for a while, where these old warehouses and factories get converted usually into condos, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like against condos.
Well,
it's just nice we mixed it up a little bit.
Well, there is a brewery and one of the big, you know.
Yes, I agree with that one. I'm not going to complain about that.
Exactly. Urban South moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the art space, the circus space.
Yes.
Where we went to the little haunted thing.
Haunted circus thing, yeah. So there have been some other uses, and there is also Blue Plate became Artist Lofts.
Right.
So there have been a few Artist Loft efforts made.
Right.
And what was it, an egg one? You were looking at a space there once upon a crime?
Yes, I know, but then you put me on the spot, and now it's not going to come to my brain. Right. Because that's how my brain works.
It's fine. If it comes later in the conversation, just blurt it out. That's what we do here. But yeah, there's all kinds of... there are some artist spaces, too. But no, I really like the fact that this is a refurbishment effort that is the lead, at least in part, is being taken by a local haunted attraction.
An art egg
is the one. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's
driving me bonkers. But yeah, so...
So I think, simple, you forget it.
Yeah, no. You think, what is that art thing with the egg in the name? It's like an art egg. I mean, I can't put it together.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, shifting gears and looking to Merrill, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. a small town I had to look up in Google Maps again, like yes. a lot of these places, is going to haunted sawmill will reopen in 2017 and will remain a Boy Scout fundraiser hall. I found this article to be very interesting, by the way, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But basically, there's this, the Boy Scouts cannot own property, it turns out. I was unaware of that. I was not a scout.
Yeah.
Scout troops cannot own property. So what happened is a group of people got together, formed an LLC, bought this place, and ran a haunt that is funded by the Boy Scouts, and the proceeds go back to the Boy Scouts.
Right.
So it's a charity haunt. But after doing it for a while, they decided to call it quits in 2016. The original LLC founders, they said they just felt burned out.
Right.
And who can't relate to that?
Yeah.
So they called it quits. They did not open in 2016. They tried to sell the building, but they were very particular. They had interested buyers, but they wanted to find someone who would continue to operate it as a haunted attraction and continue to operate it as a Boy Scout supporting attraction.
Right.
They did not find that. So this year they have reformed the LLC with a new member, and now they've announced that they are opening for the 2017 season, and they said they were motivated to do this by how just disappointed everyone was.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's one of the things about small town haunts is there's not a lot else to do, probably. But,
yeah, they talk about how they got 8,000 people in their last season, including 1,600 on one night.
Wow.
And they drew people from all over the state. So they seem to have done pretty good for themselves, especially for a haunt that's fairly rural.
Yeah.
It ain't one of them big city haunts, but they sure do.
No, it has a population of 9,600 people.
So basically, literally everyone in town would have had to have go to it just to make, if it only came from the local populace.
Yes.
So obviously they had visitors from outside, which is, they note in the article, supports the local economy. They buy gas at the local gas station. They eat at the local restaurant.
Right.
Which I'm going to tell you, anytime I go to a rural haunted house, you better believe my ass is finding the local rural diner for dinner.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to be amazing.
And we hope that it's open.
Yes, that's the only problem. Oh my God. When was that? That was the Fright Trail with the awesome looking diner that shuttered right as the haunt was opening time wise.
Yeah.
It's like, okay guys, look, you might want to extend your hours for the month. I'm just throwing that one out. You might be blowing it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I really am happy to hear about this one, that they were able to work it out and come back, and good luck for your 2017 season, guys. This sounds like a lot of fun.
You do it.
And I love the photo with this article.
Yeah.
You know, small town haunts have a charm all their own. They're very unique.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an awesome thing. So, I don't know.
We've talked about the Lafitte Fire Departments before. And they are both small town.
Yeah.
Draw in people from the New Orleans area.
Yeah.
And every year, their proceeds not only go back to the local economy, but they also choose a charity to raise funds for. So,
yeah. All right. Well, two more stories to wind down our show today. First, actually takes us to Australia, with the Monte Cristo Homestead. It's a house, now, and I know we don't like talking about quote-unquote actually haunted places in the news, but this was such an interesting idea, I had to share it.
Right.
It's the Monte Cristo Homestead. It's widely considered to be the most haunted house in Australia. So what did they have? They hosted a movie night.
Yay, movies.
Basically, there was a film, the Warehouse, I am...
Yeah, I believe that's how you say that.
Warehouse, that was filmed there.
There's lots of words this week that we don't know how to say.
It was basically, it's a fictional film that talks about the homestead and incorporates some of the real events. It was shot there on a fairly small budget, $40,000.
Right.
But they held a screening of the film underneath a full moon on a Saturday night. I love how the article drives that point home. It was a full moon on a Saturday night. And they had the film. But they shot the, they showed the film. They were expecting 100 people. 200 people showed up.
Right.
And they're now looking at doing film festivals and other things there as well after that response. But then I got to thinking, when as I was reading this, wait, so many of the haunts we know and go to make some or all, make a suit, not all, but significant amounts of their money through being a film set.
Right.
And so, if you have a large haunt and you have had films shot there, why not have screenings of some of those films?
In the rooms where they were shot.
Yeah. Or even just in the building. It'd still be cooler.
Yeah.
I mean,
that sounds like a good idea. Now, I am curious to see this film.
Yeah.
Because I know that we just talked about, you know, the houses October built and what we didn't like about it and how... Part of the reason we didn't like it is because it was a fake documentary that incorporated real events.
Yes.
Or real news footage, at the very least.
Yeah.
So I want to see this and see if they dealt with it a little bit differently.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Because it doesn't seem like it's a documentary style film or a found footage film.
No,
it sounds like just a horror that happens to incorporate some of the actual events that
which
happen
is something
there.
That we do with our haunt.
Oh yeah,
which is we are a very story driven haunt,
right?
And that's one of the things we get to play with,
yes,
because of our smaller nature. So one of the things we do is we like to pull things that actually did happen in New Orleans history.
Yeah.
You know, you can Google, you know, some of the storms and the events we talk about, but then we take it and we just run with the football down the field of fiction lane.
Right.
Until we come to a story that really works for us.
Yeah.
It works for us and we can build around. So yeah, it's very interesting. Like this year, we're doing a horror hosting theme. We're doing a horror movie theme.
Right.
And New Orleans, if you go back, has a huge history with horror hosts.
Yeah.
Morgus the Magnificent being the most famous, but there were others as well. Very, very big on local television for a long time, especially during the 50s and 60s and 70s. So yeah, we're going to play with that.
Yeah.
In fact, the House of Shock got its name from Morgus.
Right.
His show was The House of Shock.
Yeah.
So, interesting trivia.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, if you've had films shot at your haunt, here's an idea. Movie night, off season.
Sounds fun.
I could see this being a thing. This could be a lot of fun, and you know, I don't know.
Get the licenses, obviously to show the movie.
Mind your copyright, get your licenses, public performance, blah, blah, blah. But if you can do it, get a private screening going, or even like a small screening of it going, just a small screening of it going. This could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would love to watch The Walking Dead in the cemetery across from 13th Gate.
Yeah.
Like on a projector film.
That would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for fun with this.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great idea, and I hope that they do make this a recurring thing.
Yes.
They should. Mm-hmm. And finally, though, this week, the Daily Mail. Okay, for those who have not heard of it, there's an app called Whisper.
Right.
Which the easiest way to describe it, if you know what PostSecret is.
Yes.
It's PostSecret, but in a virtual, like, app format.
Right.
Or instead of, like, writing, because the idea behind PostSecret is people mail in secrets in artistic postcards and send it off anonymously, and it gets put on a website and used in slideshows and shown all over the world.
Books.
And, yeah, all over. It's a big thing. But Whisper takes that idea where you post your secrets and submit them anonymously and other people can view secrets,
right,
but will never know who submitted them.
Right.
So the Daily Mail found secrets from haunted attraction employees and shared them.
Yes.
And yeah, this is a pretty interesting list of stuff here. I've heard a lot of these secrets many times before.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like the actor who's too afraid to go through the haunt but loves acting in it.
Yes.
We have several of those.
Yeah, so. We literally have actors that have never been through our haunt. Right. As small as it is, have never actually been through it.
Yeah.
But act in it and do a great job every year.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's a recurring theme. There's one guy here who works as a haunted house as a clown, but he's terrified of clowns.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. That is taking power over your fears.
Right. It's Batman.
Yeah, I'm Batman. Yeah, if you're afraid of, you know, haunted attractions, go work in one and, you know, be the dark force in there.
Right.
It's a very empowering thing. I can totally understand that. So, yeah, I completely get it. Mm-hmm. Others talk about how they like to mock customers. They got really scared.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
it happens.
I'll say this. The mocking and the laughter is also done with love.
Yeah, most of the time.
If you don't, like, actively hit or try to hurt the actors or try to destroy things, it's usually done with a degree of love. It's, you know what I mean? It's about a job well done rather than, haha, look at this scaredy pants.
Yeah, I had to get on to a kid actor last year.
Yeah.
Because he was not respecting customers.
Yeah. You know, there are some darker ones here. Basically, one guy's apparently very nihilistic, and this is haunted attractions' his way of getting revenge.
Yeah, on people. Well, it is cathartic.
It is
for some people, you know.
Yeah. And I get that, but also, you know, I don't approve of the, I can't kill them, so this is my small piece
of
it.
Oh, no, I don't approve of it.
Yeah.
But.
Anyways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a whole slew of these here, and most of them are pretty familiar to anyone that's actually worked in a haunted house.
Right.
On a attraction any length of time. Though I have to say, I'm very confused by the chainsaw guy who submitted a secret saying that someone got so scared they bit him.
Yeah, I don't get that either. And the chainsaw person was dressed up as a doll, which is, you know, I haven't seen that. So that's interesting.
Yeah, 80 bajillion D leather faces.
Yeah.
Never a doll, I gotta admit.
Nope, some clowns with chainsaws.
I've seen a few of those.
Yeah. You could have one of the big teddy bears in the corner with a chainsaw into the stomach.
Yeah, and then pull the chain.
Pull it out. Yeah,
okay, I have to make this. This has to happen now.
That sounds like fun.
I have patently refused to use chainsaws in our home, but this has to happen.
You could combine it with, you know, humor and make it like the giant kind of chainsaw outside and the little bitty blade, because you know, Japes was talking about his little blade.
Yeah, I did like that too. Point. Yeah, you could work with that.
That could be a lot of fun.
But yeah, the secret that's not a secret to anyone in the haunt industry, though. I work at a haunted house and I feel like I'm a different person with my haunt family. I can actually be myself.
Yeah,
That's why we haunt, goddamn it. That's why we do it.
Yeah, there's a very select group of people, I feel.
Yeah.
That are truly passionate about haunting.
Yeah.
It takes a special kind of friend.
Oh, I do like this one, too. But the person says that they sometimes are too lazy to wipe off their makeup before they go home.
Oh, yeah.
So they drive home. We have done that.
Okay, so... So, real quick story. I know we talk about ourselves a lot. I'm sorry. But I was dressed as a clown with half of a face.
Yeah.
The bottom half was torn off and just bloody.
Yeah.
And there was an incident with our dog.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he bit Jonathan, and we had to rush him to the hospital. It's a big, long story there.
Yeah.
But... the reactions from the hospital worker seeing me with the fake blood, as opposed to him who was actually injured, was very, very amusing.
What we should have done, and I'm realizing we missed a real opportunity in that room, was I should have put you at the foot of the little patient bed in the waiting room when we were waiting in the room, and I have my back to the door. So that way you could just stare and smile at the nurses.
Well, whenever they took you away for x-rays, that's what I did. No. Is I was sitting by the bed.
I don't think you told me this part.
People were walking by, and they're like, oh, you scared the crap out of me.
So, just in case you've ever wondered, yes, ER nurses can be scared.
Yeah. Lesson and then learned. They're like, oh, it's Halloween, isn't it? Yes.
Yes, it is. Well,
yeah, because it's easy to lose track of days.
Yeah, yes, especially when you're running those kinds of shifts.
Yeah.
Oh, but yes. But yeah, so check out the Daily Mail thing. We'll have the link in the show notes. All kinds of interesting secrets shared by Whisper. And hey, if you're so inclined, share your own. I mean,
yeah,
I see no reason not to. I'm not personally a big fan. I don't think I have Whisper installed, but I've heard about it. I don't know. I've never seen the point. But then again, I realize I'm getting on up in years. I still don't understand what all this talk about Snapchat's about. So I'm probably the worst person in the world to discuss apps with.
Oh, maybe.
What's this WhatsApp thing going around?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yes, so I think that's it for the news this week. I think we're out of stories, but nah, this has been overall a much more uplifting than usual news week.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, right? We've had a couple downers lately, so it got nice to talk about some fun news.
Yeah.
Well, any final thoughts?
No.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. This was Haunt Weekly, episode 68, The News. Once again, I'm not even going to do the division on that one. Once again, follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Follow us on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Our website is hauntweekly.com. Lots of great stuff coming for you. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week.